1 Kings chapter 10. Today we're going to learn from the Queen of Sheba. Now, maybe before you did your homework, you wondered what in the world you could learn from the Queen of Sheba. I'm going to read the first 13 verses in chapter 10. Now, when the Queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to test him with hard questions. She came to Jerusalem with a very great retinue, with camels that bore spices, very much gold and precious stones. And when she came to Solomon, she spoke with him about all that was in her heart. So Solomon answered all her questions. There was nothing so difficult for the king that he could not explain it to her. And when the Queen of Sheba had seen all the wisdom of Solomon, the house that he had built, the food on his table, the seating of his servants, the service of his waiters and their apparel, his cupbearers, and his entryway by which he went up to the house of the Lord, that there was no more spirit in her. Then she said to the king, It was a true report which I heard in my own land about your words and your wisdom. However, I did not believe the words until I came and saw it with my own eyes. And indeed, the half was not told me. Your wisdom and prosperity exceed the fame of which I heard. Happy are your men, and happy are these your servants, who stand continually before you and hear your wisdom. Blessed be the Lord your God, who delighted in you, setting you on the throne of Israel. Because the Lord has loved Israel forever, therefore he made you king to do justice and righteousness. Then she gave the king 120 talents of gold, spices in great abundance, and precious stones. There never again came such abundance of spices as the Queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. Also the ships of Hiram, which brought gold from Ophir, brought great quantities of almug wood and precious stones from Ophir. And the king made steps of the almug wood of the house for the house of the Lord and for the king's house, also harps and stringed instruments for singers. There never again came such almug wood, nor has the like been seen to this day. And King Solomon gave the Queen of Sheba all she desired, whatever she asked, besides what Solomon had given her according to the royal bounty. So she returned and went to her own country, she and her servants. And that's all we know about the Queen of Sheba. But Jesus said something really interesting about her. One day the Pharisees asked him for a sign. Show us a sign. Show us some kind of a miracle. And Jesus said, the Queen of the South will rise up in judgment with this generation and condemn it. For she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and indeed a greater than Solomon is here. The Pharisees just wanted a sign, and they didn't want to seek the one who would give them the sign. And Jesus really commends the Queen of Sheba in that she sought out wisdom. She did something about it. And he says she'll rise up in judgment and condemn because at least she did something and you did not. So let's learn from her today. In verse 1, it says that she had heard of Solomon's fame concerning the name of the Lord. Now, when Solomon became king over Israel, the Lord came to him in a dream and said to Solomon, ask what you want of me, and I will do that for you. And so Solomon said, I don't know how to come in. I don't know how to go out. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know how to be a king. Give me an understanding heart or a hearing heart that I may know how to judge the people. And so God, because he didn't ask for riches and didn't ask for fame, he blessed them with that on top of it. But it tells us in 1 Kings 4 that God gave Solomon wisdom and exceedingly great understanding and largeness of heart like the sand on the seashore. Thus Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the men of the east and of all the wisdom of Egypt. He spoke 3,000 proverbs. And his songs were 1,005. And men of all nations from all the kings of the earth who had heard of his wisdom, came to hear the wisdom of Solomon. So Solomon had incredible wisdom given to him by the Lord. So it says that the Queen of Sheba heard of his fame and about the name of the Lord. So maybe she had heard his proverbs. Maybe she had, because people traveled around and they would bring news. And of course, if you're the wisest man on earth, people are going to know about it and people are going to talk. So maybe she heard his proverbs, or maybe she heard about his God. And maybe that caused her to be curious about him. And it says that she came to test Solomon with hard questions. She had some things that she wanted to know about. Let's see if this man is really wise, if he really has that wisdom. So she comes to test him with hard questions. She was a queen, which means she was very wealthy. Donna Basin, you need it in the nursery. She was a queen, and yet she came. She wasn't too proud. She wasn't too good. She wasn't too wealthy. She wasn't too smart. She came. Now, she could have sent her servants. She's a queen. She could have just wrote down her questions, go off and see this man, have him see if he can answer these questions, tell me all about him and all of that. But she did not. She did not know it all, and she wanted to learn, and she wanted to increase her wisdom. So she chose to go herself. Now, maybe she wanted to hear about this God that gave Solomon this wisdom. We don't know. It doesn't tell us what she asked him. Maybe she just wanted to know about how he did things, how he ran his kingdom, and all of that. Whatever the reason for her to go, she went. She went. She took the initiative, and she went. Now, verse 2 tells us that she came to Jerusalem with a very large company in a very large caravan. Now, she was from Sheba, which is about 1,200 miles south of Jerusalem. Now, 1,200 miles, in my mind right now, it seems like a long trip in a car. But 1,200 miles on a camel is really long. Now, when we were in Israel, I rode a camel for about 30 seconds. $2, $3, whatever it was for 30 seconds. So I have had the experience of riding a camel. Now, 30 seconds was just about enough. I cannot imagine riding 1,200 miles. Now, camels are very interesting. They're very cute. I think their faces are very cute. And they can carry up to about 600 pounds, which is a lot, on a short trip. But if they're on a long trip, they can carry about 350 pounds. Now, it tells us how much gold she brought him, and the commentaries say in pounds, it is about 9,000 pounds of gold. So the great mathematician that I am got my calculator out. It would have taken at least 25 camels just to carry the gold. Okay, 25, you're picturing this coming through the desert. 25 camels just to carry the gold. She brought an abundance of spices, so the camels for that, precious stones, the camels for that. And then, of course, she didn't travel alone. She had a huge group with her. So we're talking a huge caravan. Now, camels can go about 60 to 75 miles a day. That's a lot. With a heavy load, probably less. So it would have taken them at least 20 to 30 days for this trip. Now, this is a queen who is used to living in a palace, who is used to being pampered. She's riding on a stinking camel. They stink. They really stink. They're dirty. They spit. They bite. And they stink. And she chose to get on this camel. Now, I'm sure she had a little canopy and, you know, that whole thing. And maybe somebody to fan her off or whatever. But a month on a camel? But she was a seeker. She wanted to learn. And she spoke with him all that was in her heart. And then it tells us that Solomon answered all her questions. He answered everything that she had asked. Maybe he told her about creation. Maybe she wanted to know about that, and he told her about creation. Maybe he told her about the fall of man. Maybe he told her about the plan of redemption, why the sacrifices, why they do this, why they worship Jehovah God. Maybe he told her all about that. And maybe he, you know, showed her all around the palace and told her all about how he had done things. Well, in verses 4 and 5, it tells us that she noticed how his house was built, how he arranged the food, how his servants were seated. She noticed all of that. She noticed everything, and everything she heard and everything she saw, she was absolutely overwhelmed. There was no more spirit within her. I mean, she was just speechless, overwhelmed. And she says to him, "All that I've heard is true, and even more. I mean, half of it wasn't even told me. I've seen now with my own eyes." And then she notices that his servants were blessed. They were happy. They were happy serving. She sees this kingdom being run in order according to how the Lord wants it done, and that people are blessed. They're happy there. And then she acknowledges the Lord in it in verse 9. "Blessed be the Lord your God, who delighted in you." She acknowledges the Lord in that, and she blesses him for that. And then she blesses Solomon with gold and spices and precious stones. She brought all the spices, and that was a very valuable trade in those days. And there was an abundance of this. And then Solomon, in return, blesses her back and gives her whatever she asks for. And then she goes back to her country, and nothing more is said. We don't know anything else about her. Now, history has their theories and their ideas that we won't go into at all. Well, what is the application for us? Now, there are several things, but there's one thing that is really on my heart that the Lord has been speaking to me. And that is that she was a seeker. She was a seeker of wisdom and knowledge. And are you a seeker of wisdom and knowledge? Not just wisdom and not just adding knowledge, but really seeking the one who gives the wisdom and the knowledge. Now, Solomon, we just had heard, was the wisest man on the earth. God had given him tremendous wisdom. And if you've read the book of Ecclesiastes, which he wrote, he says in there, "I set my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all that is done under heaven." And as you read through that, "I searched out this, I searched out that, I searched out this," he just tried to increase his knowledge and increase his wisdom, and he did do that. But the conclusion of it, at the end of the book, he says, the conclusion of the matter is to fear God and to keep his commandments. So the seeking of wisdom and the seeking of knowledge just to increase my understanding and everything, apart from the Lord, it really doesn't do me a bit of good. But to seek the knowledge and to seek the wisdom of the Lord, that is what I need to do. And we are instructed to seek wisdom. Who is wisdom? God is wisdom. He has all the wisdom. And so we are instructed to seek him, and he's given it to us in his word. Psalm 119, 125 says, "I am your servant. Give me understanding that I may know your testimonies, that I may know your word. I'm your servant. Give me understanding so I know your word." Psalm 119, 18, "Open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law." Lord, open my eyes so I can see those wondrous things in your word, that they can speak to me. Psalm 119:34, "Give me understanding and I shall keep your law. Indeed, I shall observe it with my whole heart." Again, give me understanding. Give me that knowledge. Give me that wisdom so that I can then keep it and I can apply it and do with my whole heart. Now, these are just three verses that I read. But do you hear the psalmist in that? He is pleading with the Lord. And is that my heart's cry? Ask yourself that question. Is this my heart? Is this my passion? When you heard me read those, what happened inside of your heart? Was it, oh, that's a nice psalm. Oh, that's nice. Or did your heart burn? Yes, Lord, give me understanding. Open my eyes. I'm your servant. I want to hear this. Are you a seeker? Is there a fire burning in your heart for the Lord? Are you a seeker of Him? Do you seek His face? Do you seek His heart? Now, for a while, the Lord has had this theme on my heart, and He won't let me get away from it. And the other day, I sat down and was just talking to the Lord, and he kept speaking to me this thing. Kim Lopez, you need it in the nursery. He kept speaking to me, and I thought, Lord, what? Why are you speaking this to me? And so I thought, I better write this down. Now, this does not happen to me all the time, and I'm not a big writer at all. But I thought, I've got to write this down. So I sat, and as he was speaking to me, and I wrote this down. And it's not a poetic thing or a big, profound thing. It's God's heart. And I left it on my desk, and I thought, what do you want me to do with this? And as I sat there yesterday and started in one direction with this message, I got to this part, and I just sat there, and the Lord had me go get it and put it in. I hear His heart, and He is saying to His people, where is the fire? Where's the fire? Where is a fire that once burned hot inside your heart? Where is the flame that burned bright? What happened to the passion you once had for me? Why has your heart grown cold? Why is the flame now a flicker? What was it that made your passion turn from me? You used to run to my house. You used to love to be around my people whose hearts were on fire for me. Where are you? And what has taken my place? Where's the fire? Now, Jesus wrote a letter to the church of Sardis, and he said, you have a name that you're alive, but you are dead. You have all these things going for you. You look really good on the outside. If anyone asked, they would say that you were alive because you're doing these things. But you have a name that you're alive, but you're really dead. Where's the fire? Where's the fire? I don't know what's going on in your heart. You don't know what's going on in my heart unless I share it. But I sat before the Lord and I asked the Lord, Lord, are you speaking to me? I mean, what is it in my life? And, you know, he took me back to that first love relationship, Ruth, with the twins. He took me back to that first love. Kathy, would you do me a favor? Would you hold, don't let anybody else come in here with Keegan's mom's things. He took me back to that place when I first met him, and the passion and the fire that was there, that I couldn't wait to run to his word, to sit at his feet. When my children were small and they took a nap, I ran to his word. I spent that hour and a half in his word with my sisters-in-law, sitting before him, praying to him, waiting on him, because that passion and that fire burned within me. I wanted to know him. I wanted to know him personally. And then I remembered, a little bit later, you cool off. You cool off in your walk because you know all that. You've heard that Bible study a million times. You know all that. You've become mature. And you cool off. But then that flame got rekindled. And I'm very thankful for that fire that God has in my heart for Him, that I can sit and I can eat up the word that I love, and I get blessed in these Bible studies. I get blessed in being able to sit down with my sisters and put these Bible studies together for you to talk about the Lord. And as Damien said Sunday morning, how the Lord joins the conversation and your heart burns within you because he's there and he's speaking to you. I get blessed with that. And then I get blessed again when I sit down and prepare the message. And then I get blessed again afterward. And I'm in his word and I love it. What about you? Where's the fire? And that may be you. And that's wonderful. But have the Lord search your heart. Or he may be stinging you right now. Only you know. Where's the fire? Where's the fire? Hosea said, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord. It's time to seek the Lord. That church at Sardis looked like they were seeking the Lord. You can have your daily devotions and you can come to every Bible study and there is not a flame burning within your heart. It's routine. It's just, here we go again. Oh, another message. It's sleeping. You know, let's wake up and listen to the Lord and allow him by his Holy Spirit to fan that flame. I mean, maybe there's a spark left in you, but he can fan that into a roaring fire. Maybe you have your flame is just like a candle and not like a forest fire. He can fan that. As newborn babes, we're to desire the pure milk of the word that we may grow. His word, to seek him, to seek his face. Psalm 119:24 says that your testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. Is that your heart? Do you know that? Do you say, yes, your testimonies are my delight and my counselors. I run to you. I run to you and your word before I run to anyone else. Is that what your heart is saying? Psalm 119:97-100. Oh, how I love your law. I love your word. It is my meditation all the day. All the day through your commandments, you make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. Because I spend time in your word with you, Lord, I have more understanding than my teachers. I understand more than the ancients because I keep your precepts. Is that your heart? Do you run to the Lord? Are you seeking the Lord? Or has it grown cold? Can you take or leave another Bible study? Think, oh, another Bible study. Oh, church, I'll just skip church tonight. So I've heard that before. I'm going to go do this. I'm going to go do that. The Lord said, you used to run to my house. You used to run here. You wouldn't miss it. You wouldn't miss it. What happened? What happened? We need a love to be around God's people. I love to be around God's people. I can catch the fire. If their heart's on fire and they are talking with me about the Lord, I can catch that. And it fans the flame in my heart. Proverbs 11:14 says that where there is no counsel, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. We need to be around God's people. Think back when you first got saved. Did you run to the house of the Lord to be with God's people? Because otherwise you're out there all alone. Did you have that desire, that burning desire, that whenever the doors were open, I'm going to be there because I'm going to learn. I just want to be around God's people. Has that grown cold? Then something's wrong. Something's wrong if that's not my heart. Or when we open the word and we hear the word read, if there is not a hunger, something's wrong. And it's not wrong with the Lord and it's not wrong with the people around you. It's wrong with my heart if I don't hunger and thirst after that word. Or when they start the worship, where's my heart? Is it making my grocery list? Is it doing whatever? Is it going, oh, they're going to do that song again, or whatever it might be, or oh, they're wearing that, or oh, look at them, or whatever. Something's wrong. Is my heart burning? Is there a craving to worship the Lord? just to sit and to lift up my heart to the Lord. Where's the fire? It's time to seek the Lord. It's time to be a seeker. The Queen of Sheba rode 1,200 miles on a camel in the desert, through the desert, the heat and the cold, the dirt, to seek. And sometimes we won't go half a block. Something's wrong. Something's wrong. Have the Lord fan that flame. Or if there's nothing there, then it's time to seek the Lord, no matter where you are. Whether you are hot on fire for the Lord, it's still time to seek the Lord. If you cooled off, it's time to seek the Lord. God, help us, please. Help us, Lord, to seek your face. And help us, Father, to take this message and not roll it off. Lord, you know my heart. This is not what I wanted to say. Lord, I know this is your heart, and you are speaking to us. And Father, I pray that we would hear you. And those, Lord, who are asleep sitting before you, would wake them up. And those whose hearts are cold, Lord, fan the flame. While your heads are still bowed and your eyes are closed, throughout the Word, we're told to humble ourselves before the Lord. And God says, if my people will humble themselves and turn to me, then I will bless them. And I don't know where you are today, but this message has opened my eyes. And I want to give you an opportunity to just take this moment in time to confess to the Lord, to turn, to humble yourself, to repent. And sometimes we need that time just to sit and to do that. And I would ask, and I'm not doing this to point anyone out, and I'm not doing this to have a show, or you know that. But I would ask that you would put everyone else out of your mind, and if the Lord has spoken to your heart, that you would get up from your chair, turn around, and just kneel before the Lord. It doesn't matter what the person next to you is doing or what they're thinking. They're not thinking anything. They're listening to the Lord. Lord, it is a privilege to humble ourselves before you. Just take a moment to quietly before the Lord lift your heart to him. Whom the Lord loves, he chastises. Lord, we hear you. And Father, I pray for my sisters. And Lord, it's between you and their heart. And only you and them really know where they are with you. And Lord, I thank you for your heart that speaks to us like this because you love us and because you want us back. And Lord, I pray that you would be the passion that consumes us. Lord, that if we have been like Moab, who has been at ease and have not been emptied out, Lord, if we are like the church of Sardis that looks alive but is really dead, or if we're like the church at Ephesus who have left their first love, Lord, bring us back. Only you can breathe life into us. Fan the flame. Father, I pray that you would pierce our hearts, burn this message on our hearts so that we would be changed. And Lord, whatever has a hold on us that has caused that flame to die down, I pray that that would be exposed, that we would give it to you, and that it would be done with. Lord, I pray that we would return to our first love, that we would, Lord, as that new bride, just run to you, run to your house, run to your word with that excitement, that passion. Do this work in our hearts, Lord.
Thank you.
And Lord, we don't want to forget, and we don't want to neglect. We want to remember what you've done, what you've spoken, and we want to be changed. And we praise you ahead of time, Lord. And we thank you for loving us enough to get our attention. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, you have a quick break and then into your group.